Drolene Marks, you know, I was going to say bring us some sense and sensibility, but I think that's a big ask.
I was going to say, if we can't do Whiny Wednesday, can we do for Verkrimpt Friday?
Oh, there's a new word for you, Zanati, in your Yiddish schooling.
For Verkrimpt.
For Verkrimpt, yeah. Have you heard it before?
I have.
Yeah. Zanati, you don't know. I have been like a Jewish mother the whole week. Because of you.
Oh, because love of it. Her oiskazoomed.
I tell you, I am oiskazoomed. I'm so over this. I want to see people. I'm even going to attempt to go back to the gym on Sunday.
Oh, so a gym's opening in Israel?
We're basically back to as much normality as possible. So I'll tell you how our gym is working. For the past week or so, it's been open, reservation only, crowd control, social distancing to the equipment. Now we've opened up to classes, but only with one instructor, only 10 people at a time in the studio with social distancing. You have to pay before you go. Your temperature has to be taken, which I think is totally respectable. What we've decided, because of course, you know, with the economic effects of COVID-19, we're concerned about what this impacts on small businesses. So what we've suggested is that we have the Zoom classes instructor filmed via Zoom. And those who pay will be able to get the link and participate from home or wherever they are, so that we can start getting that much needed revenue generating. But the gyms have been sterilized. Everybody is, you know, on top of, you know, making sure that everything's safe, everything's clean. And that's what we're doing. But next week, the restaurants will open, hotels will open, the pools will open, the clubs will open. This past week, the beaches opened and then had to close some of them because of the weather. I mean, how's that for a nasty irony? The synagogues are open, the places of worship are open, the schools have gone back, which is why you've had loud whoops of joy coming from this part of the globe. A lot has gone back to as much normality as possible, but with strict instructions, with social distancing. I mean, this week has been extraordinarily hot, but the government did say, okay, so for students, they'll drop the having to use the masks because there was a large concern about their safety as far as dehydrating. And of course, a wet mask is not going to prevent COVID-19 now.
Yeah, and of course there was that concert last night where we were seeing reports of nearly 5,000 people gathering, many of whom were not adhering to social distancing. That's very worrying potentially.
It is worrying, and strangely did have the sure or the permission of the police, and our numbers are low and continuing to hold low. So let's look at them where they are today. So we've had, since the start of the pandemic, 16,683 at the moment, and it's going down quite drastically every single day. The number of currently infected is 2,680. Now we know where the infected people are. I think the mapping technology that Israel has really, really played its part. And we are able to isolate those areas, those communities, and make sure that as many people go back to normal as possible so that we can get the economy running. Fatalities, they remain on to 79. In serious condition, this has also gone down significantly to 47. Ventilators to 36, also down significantly. And fully recovered, 13,724. So we are seeing good numbers, but we are still having to be cautious. You know, one thing that people must understand is just because the numbers are low doesn't mean the pandemic is over. And we still need to be very, very cautious.
Absolutely. Today is Yom Yerushalayim. And of course, Yom Yerushalayim being the day that Jerusalem was reunified 73 years ago during the Six-Day War. How is that celebrated? Because it's normally, obviously, a very well celebrated event in the city of Jerusalem.
Well, first of all, I have to say, Chag Yom Yerushalayim Sameach. I don't think any of us will forget those images. They are seared into our collective consciousness, with the three soldiers, you know, that iconic picture, the words of the RDF, Akotel Beyadenu, the Kotel is in our hands, as the RDF came into the old city, liberated the city and reunited the city. It's a day of great celebration. Normally there are marches around the city. It's very, very, very festive. This year, because of social distancing, there won't be, you know, major marches. They are trying to do something like a socially distant circle around the old city. We'll see how that turns out in the crazy heat today. But most people are taking to celebrate on social media. So a lot of people online sharing stories, sharing images, really, really taking, the love, the celebration of Jerusalem online. And the Kotel is open. You can go down there. Right now it's the partitions, because they're partitioning people in groups of, I think it's 19. They're festooned with flags. It looks very, very festive, but it's all very, very controlled.
Yeah, interesting just how careful it is in some areas. And then you have this beach party in another, and you just wonder how long this type of social distancing will actually be adhered to.
Well, absolutely. I mean, last weekend we did have some restaurants in Tel Aviv saying, you know, they have to open. If they don't open, they're literally going to die economically. So what they did was they put their tables outside, they spread the tables as far as they possibly could. And some of the merchants said, we'll face the fines, but right now financially we cannot cope with this. We had the falafel store owner a couple of weeks ago, who really became the face of the economy in Israel, in tears, because he wasn't sure if he would be able to survive and feed his family. And from all the stress, he had a heart attack this week. He should be okay. We've heard that he's okay, but it's a tremendous pressure on everybody. So we're really trying to find our balance. We're really trying to see if we can do as much as possible to combat the spread of COVID, to isolate those areas that are vulnerable. Yesterday we had three kindergartens or daycare centers where that had to go into bidud, into isolation, because the staff or somebody there was found to test positive. So that is continuing. The safety measures are continuing. But in the meantime, we have to get the economy up and running.
And just bring us some kind of an update on the cyber hack or the attack that happened yesterday. Have companies recovered? What is the latest on that?
Well, most companies have recovered. Our National Cyber Directorate caught it very quickly. You know, they prepared for these kind of things. You know, speaking to a security expert yesterday, who said to me, don't underestimate how good these guys are, both on our side and on the other side. And, you know, we have to be prepared for all these eventualities. But most sites are back on us. We were happy. We're back up and running. Some of the supermarkets. I mean, Howard Zanati, this is just cruel. They hacked the places we get food and iced coffee. These are necessities at this time. To me, it's the ultimate cruelty to hack Aroma, to hack Pofix, to hack the supermarkets. But they're back up and running.
There must be some kind of it. Is that a war crime, do you think?
I think it's a war crime. I think in the 45 degree heat, if you're going to stop our access
to iced coffee, it's a crime against humanity.
Yeah. But the people that they wear, they largely look for pages that are co.il or have Zionist in the title. I mean, it is quite an irony that they hacked the most left of left political party's Meretz, which is quite funny, but you know, they don't know the intricacies. But a lot of NGOs were hacked. Hadassah was, United Hatzolah, WITO was, Hadassah Medical Center was. But immediately the hole was found. It was the UPress company, because they traced it back to just one service provider. They found the security flaw, and they're investigating the security and handling all the damaged sites, but basically many of them are back up and running. But it would be interesting to see what's going to be happening in Iran in the next few days.
Yeah, and
it's be out of order. you know, what's going to happen, Howard?
Yeah, I mean, this is the ultimate social distancing when it comes to warfare, isn't it? If we're going to stay home,
absolutely,
and we're going to attack you via the internet. But I mean, we've really seen this escalating quite significantly in the last number of weeks, where the Israeli water system was hacked, then the Iranian ports were hacked, then there was speculation around what went wrong at the and this is a conspiracy theory around the misfiring of the Iranian vessel, which I very much doubt was a hack and more reflective of the Iranian systems, but then yesterday Israel being hacked. Is there is there an unofficial understanding that this is all part of this conflict with Iran?
Well, I think we've come to the understanding, and that's a great question. I think we've come to the understanding that when we take on Iran, and I just want to stress, it's not the Iranian people. In fact, we've had reports this week of Iranians trying to seek asylum in Israel, that we know that this warfare is on multiple battlefields. It's in the media. It's in cyberspace. It's physical. It's a war of words. It's perhaps lawfare. It's the use of their proxies. So we know that we're fighting on multiple fronts, and we're not underestimating, not for one second, the threat posed by Iran and their cyber hackers.
Yeah, and in terms of the latest with the Palestinian Authority, before I let you go, they've stepped out of this agreement again with Israel, but I thought they were never really in it. So what is the latest on that?
Well, you know what? I think the world is fast going to lose patience with them, and it is happening. They really, really stuck the nail in it this week by refusing the 16 tons of humanitarian aid that came from the United Arab Emirates for the Palestinian people. They refused it because the plane landed in Israel. I mean, it's just outrageous. But you know what, Howard, if it's Wednesday, it's Abbas saying that he's ending cooperation with Israel and the Israeli security forces. So, you know, it doesn't come as a shock, but it does come as a frustration that yet again the responsible decisions to be made for Palestinian citizens are being absconded by the Palestinian leadership.
So where is that aid right now? Just waiting for someone to accept it?
The World Aid Organization said that the aid will go to Gaza. It will go to Palestinians who need to receive that important aid.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. Rolene Marks, this is where we love and leave you. Have a fantastic weekend.